Okay, I think we're just about there now. Welcome. As Steve has been saying, and I think it's come through in the worship, we're learning about the kingdom, and we're learning about the King, Jesus, who is the King of the kingdom. Jesus said a lot about the kingdom in the Gospels, and last week Steve helpfully took us about the theme of the kingdom right the way through the Bible. So we preached the whole Bible last week, and we saw how the kingdom developed over history and how Jesus ushered in a new dimension to the kingdom. And today we're going to start looking at some of the parables that Jesus told about the kingdom. And we're going to look today particularly how the king and his kingdom should be valued about everything from a couple of parables in Matthew's gospel. Now, you should all have, I think, a handout. Everyone got a handout? Ah. I think it's on the slides, isn't it? The handout, but not the details of it. So we'll very quickly do that. But you should. This is what it looks like when you get it. It's got two bits in it. One bit, it's got some blanks which you can fill in. You don't have to fill them in. If it helps you, we will be filling in the blanks during the message. And the second bit it's got is some guides about growth groups. As a church, here in Aldershot, we run three growth groups. Other parts of the congregations also run growth groups. And a growth group is where we learn to grow, where we grow in our knowledge of Jesus, where we grow, it's being a small community. So that's why our growth groups are small groups, because we want to learn how we can be a Christian community. And we also want to grow because we want to bring others into the knowledge of Jesus and his kingdom. So I'd like to encourage you, if you've not been to a growth group before, come and speak to someone afterwards. We can introduce you to the growth group leaders and assistants and where they meet. And we'd really love you to be part of a growth group community. And you can just look as well. We don't mind visitors to our growth groups. We try to operate an empty chair at all of our growth group meetings so that there's space for someone who's new to come along. Okay, so hopefully you should all have the handout. As I say, we're looking today at the value of the king and his kingdom. We're just about there now. Just about there now. We've even got to fold them up today. Right. So if you've got your Bibles or your apps, or if you just want to listen, we'll be looking at today at the Gospel of Matthew, which is in the New Testament. It's the first book of the New Testament, because Matthew, Mark, Luke, John first is Matthew. And we're looking at chapter 13, and we're going to look at verses 44 to 46. Just a quick reminder, too, as we said earlier, we've got an openness to text questions through. We're asking you to text them so that we've got time for response, because we want to have some focused questions. We don't want to have the whole of the meeting at the end for questions. We want to be able to respond to what God is saying. So that's why we're texting rather than having people ask them directly. So do that. You can text them at any time if something comes up. Anything about what I say, anything which is in the passage, which I don't say, because I think that's fair enough too, because we're supposed to be preaching from the Bible. And anything that you feel has challenged you from what it says, and asking questions, how should I respond? And we'll try and answer as many as we can at the end, and Steve will filter out and summarise if there's similar questions. Okay, so Ellie, would you like to come and read for us the passage in Matthew's Gospel?
The parable of the hidden treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. The parable of the pearl of great value. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it.
Thank you, Ellie. All right, so we're going to be talking today about these parables about a treasure and a pearl of great price. And these are illustrations of the kingdom of heaven. Now, kingdom of heaven, interesting topic, people have written, I think, probably, we've gone to study theology, have probably written things about it. But I said, well, we do need to, in order to be able to look at these parables about the kingdom of heaven and apply it in terms of value, we've got to have a list of some idea of what we think the kingdom of heaven is. And I thought, rather than going sort of for theological, I'd go for, okay, well, what did the people think who were hearing it? So if you so the first thing I would say on that is most of the people there were just a crowd, okay? Jesus was telling these parables to a crowd of people. They were obviously had some interest. Perhaps some of them were coming there to criticize him. Perhaps some of them, many of them there were intrigued because he was healing people. Others of them wanted to follow him, some of them already following him. But generally the crowd was there. So what would they have thought about the kingdom of heaven? Well, they were almost all Jews. So they would have had a history. They would have thought of David's kingdom. They would have, many of them would have known their Bibles well, their Old Testaments, and they would have realized that there was a great period in Israel's history when David and Solomon were kings. And they would have seen the rule of God in that kingdom. And they would have had a picture, of course, it being a king, of a kingdom too. I was really struck this morning by how much we focused on the king. And they would have also had, they would have known from the teachings that actually in the future there was going to be a Messiah king. And that's, of course, who we believe Jesus is. So they would have had that picture. And they would have come in a context where they were oppressed. They weren't in a kingdom. They were in the Roman Empire. And things weren't as they would have liked. The laws weren't in line with the laws of the Old Testament. You were allowed to worship other gods. You were allowed to do lots of things which the Old Testament said you couldn't do. So they would have felt, and they would have felt oppressed. At times it was very bad. I mean, I don't know, probably most of us have never been in an occupied country, but it can be very oppressed, I think. So they wouldn't have found it easy. And they would have seen, they would have said, oh, he's talking about a kingdom of heaven. That's brilliant. Where it's going to be a kingdom where God's in control. And there was a kingdom of heaven. And they would have also had a picture of heaven. Most of them would have believed in heaven. There were some, the Sadducees, who didn't believe in heaven, didn't believe in angels, didn't believe in a resurrection. But most of them would have probably believed that there were angels. They would have seen heaven as the realm of the angels. They would have seen heaven as the realm of where God was fully and visibly in control. So when they saw the kingdom of heaven, they would have seen a picture of a good king ruling over something where everything was good. And they would have seen it as future, because they knew that this wasn't their experience at the present. They would have seen a future. They would have believed they were going to heaven as part of the people of God. They would have, if they believed in a heaven. And they would have seen it as something that was a great future for them. And I think we need to see that is one aspect of the kingdom of heaven for us. We do have a hope for the future. And I think particularly when things are hard, and we do face hard times, things may not be working out in your workplace, they may not be working out in your family, you may not be working out for your health, there may be disappointments. We have a hope for the future that can carry us through that. But I believe when they were talking about the kingdom of heaven, although there was very much a future aspect, there was also a present aspect. And I think the disciples particularly, those who were really going for it, would have realized that Jesus was already saying that the kingdom of God had come. Jesus earlier on, when he was asked about when he was casting out some demons, he said, well, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God is among you. So the disciples would have realized that Jesus wasn't just teaching a future kingdom of heaven, he was teaching something present. And I think the disciples, particularly when they were looking back on that, and you've got to remember Matthew wrote this down several years after it actually was said. He wrote it down because he wanted the people of the day, the Christians of the day, to know what Jesus was teaching about the kingdom. And I believe that the disciples knew that they had the keys of the kingdom. Jesus promised Peter, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. So they knew that, they realized, I think, that was when the Spirit came, that actually they had the keys of the kingdom. It wasn't just for the future, it was something present. And I also believe that they applied it in a particular way. Does anyone know what the context of that verse of the keys of the kingdom? What's the verse before it? Does anyone know that? Steve, do you know what comes before the bit where he says this kingdom? Okay. It says, Peter is declaring what he believes about Jesus before that. And he says, oh, you're the Messiah. Okay. So he, in the context of it, was they had the gospel. And the other aspect of the context of it, he says, and on this rock, on what you said and who you are, I will build my church. So I believe that the disciples, looking back on that, the early church, as they read this passage and had been written down from these parables, they would have believed and they would have said, actually, we've got a gospel and we've got a church. And that's how we apply the kingdom in the present. And it's interesting, if you read the Acts of the Apostles, if you read Paul's letter, you very rarely see anything about the kingdom. They don't really talk about it. They talk about the church. It's through the church the glory of God and the manifold wisdom of God is going to be served. Unto him be glory in the church. So the church, that is the community of people, not the buildings, okay? The people, we as the church, the local church, demonstrate the kingdom of God in our lives. So I think the disciples and the early church, as they read it, would have seen that aspect as well as the future aspect. And that's as I think. So I think as we now come to talk about how we value the kingdom of heaven and the king, I think let's keep both those aspects. We value it because it's a hope for a future and it's a glimpse in the present that we can experience. So going back to those two parables, what can we learn about the kingdom? Well, the first thing is, and it's where you get your first blank, is that we can say the kingdom is of blank value. Now, anyone got some ideas of what we could put in the blank? Great value, eternal value. Yeah? So infinite value, that's a very good one. That's pretty cool. That gives a sense that there's nothing bigger than it. Any other ones? Because I don't actually think there's a right answer, because it's not actually from the Bible verse, so you can put what you like in there. The answer that I was given is incomparable value, but that's a really big word, and it might not be one that you would usually use. So put what you would use there. I mean, the sense of infinite, the sense of priceless, it's the sense of there's nothing more valuable. So put a word in there that expresses that for you. So there's nothing that's more important to it. And that's what comes out of these passages, isn't it? He gives up everything. It's the most valuable thing you can have, is to know this kingdom with hope for the future and present with Jesus and his church. Okay, so in these two stories, we see two different experiences of people discovering the kingdom. So in the first one, we see somebody who just comes across a treasure in a field. Okay. I think for that it's worth finding this, even if you just find it by accident. Now, can you have the picture? Okay. Now, I'm not going to ask the question here because I wouldn't have known the answer to what that actually is. But in 2013, a couple were walking in America, in the Sierra Nevada somewhere. They were walking around their property and they saw some rusty cans. Okay, you can probably see there's some rusty cans there. Now, they also saw something shiny in them, so they picked up this rusty can. They only found one initially, I think. And they looked in and thought, oh, gosh, there's some coins in here. And they went and checked them out, and they found they were gold coins. I think they dated back to the 1890s at least. So that was over a century. They'd been hidden for over a century. They went back and they found some more. In fact, they found six lots in the end. And the estimated value of this treasure hoard, it's called the Saddle Ridge Hoard, is about $10 million. They just found it by accident. And in fact, they've kept secret where it is. No one actually knows where it is because they think other people are going to try and see if they find anything else. And they want to make sure if there is anything else there that they're the ones who find it. Because it's very valuable. And I checked it out on Wikipedia and other places, so I'm pretty sure this is a true story, but I hadn't heard about it before. So But the point of this is, you see, you can find great things by accident. And that's what Jesus said. These people found some treasure in a field by accident. Perhaps you've stumbled on the kingdom by accident. You might want to cast, you may have been a Christian a short while, you may not even be a Christian yet, but you've come here today and you thought, there's something here that's valuable. If you've done that, you should, I think, do as these people did who found this. Let's try and find out if there's more, I would say. And maybe you've been a Christian for a long time and you've actually suddenly realized there's another dimension to this kingdom. Perhaps, as we were sharing earlier, you've realized actually there is the supernatural power for today. Jesus can still heal. Jesus can still reveal something of our future. Jesus can still change our lives. If that's new to you and you found it by accident, let's go for it. Perhaps you've said something about the grace of God, that actually we don't have to do things by rules. You became a Christian and you thought, yeah, I've got to do all these things. And you were told, yes, you've got to do X, you've got to do Y. And actually, you don't. It's the thing within you that changes. Yes, you may want to do those things, but actually it's the heart. And there's revelation. Pursue revelation. There's God. If God's speaking to you on something, and it may not be any of those things, it might be the church, it might be something about the importance of the Bible. Whatever it is God's speaking to you, pursue it. Because you found it by accident, but it was worth finding out more of the kingdom of God. Then in a second story, you've got a slightly different scenario. You see, the merchant knows there's something more. He's got some good pearls, but he knows there's something more. He didn't find it by accident, but because he had to go hunting for it. And you see, sometimes we have to go hunting for it. And you may be coming here. We may not have discovered something yet, but we may know there's a bit more. I've heard a story of someone in the past who became a Christian because he tried all the other religions and he found there was something special in the church. He went to the mosque. He went to the Buddhist temple. And then he came to the church. And he came to a church where Jesus was very present. And he thought, actually, there's something here. And he went and sought more. And I know we run alpha courses for people who want to find out more. If you're there and you just know you need to hunt more, even if you know think you know quite a lot of it and you feel you just want to hunt more, then I'd say don't just leave it. It's worth hunting for. That's the point of this, because it's worth knowing what the answer is for life, the universe and everything. It's worth knowing what's your future. It's worth knowing what can be a meaningful present, what can make yourself have purpose in life. It's worth knowing this. The kingdom of heaven is worth finding it, worth going over land and sea to find, worth hunting for. That's the point. So Jesus was making this point. Jesus was making this point about this kingdom of heaven, that you had to go and find it. And if wherever you found it, you should pursue it. And that's the next thing, the point I want to go into. You see, the point was, both these people then gave up everything for it. So let's do the next blank now. It says, the kingdom is the blank to give everything for. Now, we're not going to read those verses in Philippians, but they basically say you should go for it and go and pursue everything, pursuing Jesus. So anyone wants to suggest some blanks to go in there? Anyone got any blanks to go in there? How would you describe the kingdom as being something blank to give everything for? The reason to give everything for, yeah?
The treasure,
yeah? That's the official answer, treasure. But it's not in Philippians again, so I don't know. I mean, I think the Philippians talks about the crown, which probably doesn't mean very much, I think. Any other thoughts, any other words? Again, I think put something in there that expresses the fact that it's something you really want to go for. Purpose, yeah? The truth, yeah, the truth. We need to know the truth, and it sets us free, doesn't it? The truth. That's a great pearl, isn't it? A truth. Okay, so again, we look to see these two parables. And in the first parable, we see this person who decides he finds the treasure. Perhaps it was too big for him to dig up and take there and then. And he says, the solution is I need to buy this field. Now, I'm told from my notes that I was given that in Jewish law, that if you found something in someone's house, surprise, surprise, it belonged to the owner of the house. It'd be a bit of a problem otherwise, wouldn't it? Otherwise, you could just say, I've taken this treasure, I found it. Yeah, but it was in the house. So if it was in a house, it belonged to the person in the house. If you found it on the roadside, in the middle of nowhere, it belonged to you as you found it. If someone else had dropped it, that was a bit tough, really. You might, I guess, I don't know if they had a thing about reported lost property. They might have done, I don't know. But and also the Roman laws might have been slightly different from the Jewish laws. But anyway, they would have realised that if it was on the roadside, but if it was in a field, it was probably a bit uncertain. Because the field was in somebody's property, but it wasn't in their house. So to make sure of it, the guy said, I'm going to buy the field. Sell everything I have to buy this field so I get this treasure. Didn't leave it to chance. Didn't leave it to chance. He decided to pursue things. We need to give everything to make sure we get the treasure. We shouldn't be too laid back. Okay? Now, it is important, as we sang this morning, that all is at rest. Because there's nothing wrong with being at rest. But being at rest does not mean we do nothing. Even in that hymn we were singing, I think things like, we're watching and waiting. So there's an aspect of being attuned. We're not just being at rest doesn't mean you're doing nothing. We're praising. I think we praise both in our words and our deeds. You see, it can be too easy to think that, okay, because we found the treasure, we just need to lay back in it. No, even Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 11 and verse 12 about the kingdom of heaven, he said that the violent take it by force. Now, I know there's lots of interpretations of that passage, but actually I think one sense is that Jesus said you've got to go and pursue it. And I want to encourage us, if we've found it, particularly if we've stumbled on some truth about the church or about grace or about the fact that we can be saved, that we don't have to make it on our own, we can't make it on our own. Whatever it is, I'd say pursue it. You see, things can get in the way. We don't yet see the kingdom of heaven fully on earth, so it isn't easy. Have you ever noticed how there's things in the way when you want to go to church on a Sunday or to a growth group meeting or to pray? Last night, it was a typical scenario. My son was out. Everything had been planned. It should have been fine. But then something got miscommunicated with someone who was supposed to take him to a station at a particular time, and he ended up missing the train back. Battle, isn't it? How many times have you had that when you've been thinking, I must get to pray. I must get to even I must get to my Alpha course. And I'd say, make sure we give up everything and buy that field. Let's pursue it. Don't give up just because something's in the way. Because there is a battle in that. Make sure you push through when you're praying. Make sure you push through when you're reading the Bible. Make sure you're pushing through when you're building community in your growth groups and in the church. So that's the first thing is, we need to give everything to make sure we get the treasure. The second thing I see from the second parable is we need to give everything to make sure that other good things don't get in the way. You see, the other guy had lots of pearls, didn't he? And he was happy. He could have been happy with that because these were good things. They were nice pearls, but they weren't the best. Actually, the good is often the enemy of the best. Because people tend not to pursue things that aren't very nice most of the time, unless they're trapped. But lots of people pursue good things. Pursue education to learn more about the world or people. Pursue friendships because that gives strength. Pursue having a family because that's something that brings joy and is giving to others. We can even pursue the church. If we don't pursue the king of the church, we're missing out. And I guess the challenge is, are we putting things away? Is our work, it's good to have work, but is our work too much of a priority? Is our family, are our hobbies, are they the pearls that actually we have to somehow put into context? We might even have to give them up to get that greatest pearl. But we certainly need to give up the priority we're giving them. Because you see, otherwise we won't experience the kingdom on earth as we should do. And even there's some argument, if you read the Bibles, that there were rewards for doing lots of things. Good study, if you ever get the chance, look up the word reward in the Bible about what you'll be rewarded in heaven for. And actually, we can, I think, miss out if we don't pursue. If we don't go for what is the most valuable pearl. It was interesting, probably about a year or so back, maybe a bit more than that now, myself and Joe, we were just thinking, Joe's my wife, by the way, we were just wondering what we should do in terms of of church and activities. I personally was thinking, well, I'm doing things, yeah, I'm doing bits and pieces, but am I really on the front foot for God? And we were given a picture in a meeting where we had a lake, and we were on a boat, and we could choose different destinations on that lake. Some of them were easier, some of them more challenging. And we just felt when we heard from Steve that he was going to go for Aldershot, we just thought, there's something here we could do. Our children aren't quite so enmeshed in Farnham at the moment, and we just felt that, yeah, we'll have a go for it. We'll take that step. It's been a challenging year in many respects. Some of you know we had a slightly unexpected baby as well. And we still haven't moved to Aldershot. We still don't. There we've got that challenge to come. But it's exciting because I feel we're more on the front foot. We haven't put comfort first. We've put the kingdom first. And I want to encourage us, let's do that. Let's make sure that the good supports the best rather than becomes the enemy of the best. So, in conclusion, we've seen a little bit about the kingdom of heaven. We've seen how it's a hope for the future, how this is how the hearers would have seen it. A hope for eternal future with Jesus as king and a joy for the present. If you want to come to the third of your fill in the blanks. When we find the kingdom, our joy blanks everything. This one sort of is in the passage. Sorry? Surpasses, yeah, that sounds a good one. Surpasses. Yeah, I think that's probably better than the suggestion, actually. Any other ideas? I think the passage says exceeds, doesn't it? It's filled with exceeding joy or something like that. So that's another one. The suggestion is actually supersedes, but I'd be careful to put that in because spelling it right is tricky. Surpasses I like, actually, because so put what you feel is good in there. Oh, actually, you've got the spelling there, haven't you? So that makes it easier. But the point is here, actually, we have joy. We have a joy because we know where we're going, and we have a joy because we're doing something. We're able to see Jesus and experience him today and experience his kingdom as it flows out through us and his church. So in conclusion, we've seen a bit about what the kingdom is and how it can bring us hope and joy. Then we've seen how in the application of that we need to keep seeking to find, whether we found it by accident or whether we need to keep hunting. And maybe there's a challenge in there to keep hunting. If you know there's more, keep hunting. Come and ask. Come and get fellowship. Ask those who know more. Read the Bible. And then we've seen how we need to go for it in terms of putting the kingdom as our priority. Not to be too laid back. Rest, but pursue God. And make sure that we haven't got something else in the way. And maybe there's a challenge to us there. Maybe there are particular things you know you need to do. And let's discuss that in our growth groups, or come and pray with someone afterwards. If you say, yeah, I know I need to do this. I know I need to pray for healing, because I'm only going to learn if I try. I know I need to pray more, so I'm going to try and get together with someone else to pray and learn. I know I need to get stuck into the church more. I'm going to join a growth group. Or I know I've got things in the way. I think I'm going to have to think about this hobby. It's taking too much time. I think I'm going to make sure I don't stay late at work every day so I can have some fellowship. Let's make sure we go for that. Let's. There's a last bullet point here now. The last filling down. When we give all to the kingdom, we blank, blank. I'm going to tell you this one because I don't think anyone will ever get close to it. Secure everything is what's supposed to be the answer. But basically, the point here is that when we do give, we don't actually lose out. Jesus gave up everything for us, and he didn't lose out. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, and his joy is us. And when we give up everything, we get the joy of knowing Jesus. That's what our eternal life is, knowing God and Jesus who he sent. And we get the joy of being part of a community, which reflects a little bit of what the kingdom of heaven will be. Now, have we had any questions texted? Good. Oh, I've got a nod there. Okay, let's have a go then. Steve, what questions have we got? Joe, you've... Yes? Okay, I think first of all, you need to... It's a very good question. I think you need to ask yourself and find out what that hard slog is. Okay, I would say it's the same principles of I'd always say for guidance. You should look to see what does the Bible say about this thing? Should I be doing it? Pray with other people. Listen to the soft voice. There's no easy answer to that. It depends. Sometimes it may, I mean, if it's something that's in the Bible, I find prayer a hard slog. Well, obviously, you should keep praying. But if it's, should I be doing children's work, I'm finding it a hard slog. Well, there might not be a right answer. We do need to think, should I be doing it? What am I giving it? Is it my gifting? So I think you need to say what you think your hard slog is. Okay. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Okay. So we have to learn to put our feelings in the right context. We should never ignore our feelings. All right. But actually, sometimes our feelings will not be in line with what we should do. And if we believe, we have to let our head understand things first and our heart next. Okay. So I'd say, that's probably the way to do it, is to fill your mind with the truth. Try it, just take a step at a time too, because sometimes it feels too hard because you're looking at, I've got to do all this. Well, actually, God actually often only shows us the first step and only wants us to take the first step. So that's one way to get around, I feel I want to give it all. Well, can you take the first step? Could you do this? I mean, Jesus said, could you wait 1 hour? Maybe he'll say to you, could you pray 5 minutes? Christian friendship. What are the benefits of Christian friendship? Well, it's a bit like what the benefits of the friendship, isn't it? You provide a support for each other. So Christian friendship should find a way that we help each other. One of my best Christian friends are the ones that I've prayed with, for example. So if you've got a good Christian friend, how much do you pray together? And obviously there's another aspect of Christian friendship, that is friendship with people who don't yet know Christian. So where one of you is a Christian and the other is just looking. And I would say the value of that, yes, that is how people grow. And I would encourage just to have friends who are wanting to know to be Christians, but it's having a mixture. And I think we covered it in a previous campaign. You have a number of, you want your key friends to be people who you who do help you to grow, but you have some in your circle of friends who you're helping to grow forward. Okay, well, one of the... too messy. Yeah, well, I think one of the things here is we have to remember that the kingdom is a kingdom of grace. And actually, we all start messy, okay? And in fact, to some extent, I think there's an... depends what we mean by messy, too. If you mean that things aren't ordered, well, yeah, God sometimes doesn't look that ordered. If you mean messy because things aren't right, we don't do things right, we have wrong attitudes and those, well, actually, the way we can... people can see the kingdom in that. Because you, if, as long as we express the fact, well, I'm not perfect, but I do know how to ask for forgiveness. And things aren't ordered, but then we've got a God who's far beyond what we can understand. So why should it always look ordered to us? Yeah. Okay. Let's just pray now, and then we can respond. Lord Jesus, thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, you gave us stories because we can just picture it, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that whether it's been treasure that we've stumbled across by accident about you, or whether it's been things we've been hunting through to know more, that actually we would grow in our knowledge of the kingdom of heaven. Lord, help me and help everybody here to be people who pursue, who give up everything, who value you and your kingdom more than anything else. Help us to put things out of the way if we need to. Help us to be determined to push through in a world that doesn't really acknowledge you or go or work with you all the time, so that we can see your kingdom come. Help us to learn to see the supernatural. Help us to learn how to worship. Help us to learn to be in your character. Help us not to be afraid to be messy, but in that mess to glorify you. Amen.